risen. Yes, for those of you who aren't from the liturgical church, your answer is he is risen indeed. Let's try again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good job. Hey, I want to celebrate the resurrection a different way than I ever have before. Probably not you, but me for sure. And that is, I really want to talk to you about the resurrection from a shocking discovery I made while reading through the book of the Revelation this last 2 weeks. I read through the book of Revelation, I think, maybe 10 times or something, almost every day. And I was just trying to fly the helicopter up and see the blessing that was in that book and what God was trying to say, and something caught my eye. And, of course, you know, the revelation is not John's revelation. It's the Lord Jesus' revelation to John, right? So it's how Jesus wanted to show us all the world from the heavenly perspective. And so there's all these beasts and dragons and all of these wonderful things, you know, that you see that are you can remember them from the Old Testament. There's the Pharaoh's plagues. There's all these different things that are really wonderful. And so there's tons of imagery, and there's numbers everywhere. Of course, you know the famous one that you remember, 666, but there's tons of sevens everywhere, and 12s, and 4s, and all of these different numbers that kind of capture your attention and beg the question, if you will. But there's this one thing that just caught my eye, and it was this. Now, I want you to think about this. This is Jesus revealing the spiritual, like taking the veil away between heaven and earth and showing you the spiritual reality. So just imagine that's what he's doing. So if Jesus, you know, you remember the story about Elisha's servant where God said, you know, Elisha asked him, And he just took the veil away, and he saw just kingdoms of armies all around, you know, fixing to protect Israel. Remember that story? Well, imagine if God right now just opened your eyes, and you could just see everything. You could see the heavenlies. You could see what's going on up there. Well, that's what the revelation's all about. And so I'm, like, looking at it, and, you know, of course, the key figure is Jesus, in case you're wondering. He's like the key figure of anything and everything, and he's definitely the key figure of Easter. And so, and he's also the key figure in all the rest of, you know, all of time and time forevermore. And so the question is, how is Jesus seen in the revelation? And you think, you know, well, we just imagine the throne, and here's this majestic, you know, think of Isaiah 6 where the, you know, in the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted up and his train filled the temple, meaning his robe just like covered the whole room. And you imagine this a majestic king. And so, like, that's one thing. Another one is this, you know, you imagine this roaring lion of Judah, you know, from the tribe of Judah, or you imagine this, you know, this guy who rides in on a white horse. All these things are things that you'll see in the revelation. But all of those things are only mentioned once. What is mentioned 7 times 4? That matters, by the way. And I'm not going to tell you all the details about that. Maybe we'll do Revelation. Well, I kind of had fun with it in the last couple weeks. So, but what's mentioned 7 times 4 is this picture. Let me read it to you. Go down to Revelation 4. Revelation 4. Go down to maybe 3 slides down to Revelation 4. There you go. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and 7 eyes, and with the 7 spirits of God sent out to the world. And when he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, and when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders bowed down before the Lamb. each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain on Good Friday, and by your blood you bought people, ransomed people for God from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation. That's us sitting here, by the way, in case you're wondering. And you have made them a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Jesus, of all the ways that he could have been depicted, wanted to be depicted, or is depicted, however you want to think about that, as the slain lamb, as a lamb who was slain. I was thinking about this, you know, like, what exactly does he look like? And I remember this scene in the upper room after the resurrection. You remember it, and Thomas said, well, I won't believe him unless I can actually stick my finger in his, you know, in his, and all of a sudden Jesus materializes through the wall. I'm sure you remember the great story. And he materializes through the wall, and he says, Thomas, put your hand right here in the scar. And he said, Thomas, right here in the side where I was pierced, I want you to put your hand right here in the piercing. And what Jesus, even when Jesus has this resurrected body that's completely been changed, and the Bible says that in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, your physical bodies will be changed. There was something that wasn't changed in Jesus' body, and that was his nail-scarred hands and his nail-scarred feet and the wound that was in his side. And what Jesus wanted us to see from now on, and I don't know if it may be even more dramatic than that with this whole lamb thing and the 10 horns and the 7 spirits of God. I mean, who knows exactly what it'll materially look like when you look at Jesus. But even in the resurrection, Jesus wanted his disciples to see him slain. He wanted to see him slain. Well, why is that? Well, here's the primary reason. Here's the good news on Easter, because the slain guy ain't slain no more. Amen. He's alive. And what does that mean? Well, that means that by being slain, he has conquered death itself and the thing that caused death, which was sin. And he has slain death by death. He used death to defeat death. And he slayed death in the grave. And he rose with the scars in his hands and the scars in his side. Well, what's the big deal about that? And why would Jesus want himself to be seen that way? Not only, well, and think about this. Even when the church gathers and we're taking the Lord's Supper, what does Jesus want us to do when we gather? As oft as you're gathered, remember me. Remember my what? Death, exactly. He wants you to remember his wounds. He wants you to remember the body that was broken for him, for you, and the blood that was spilled for you. And even all throughout all time, in all the kingdoms that have happened since Calvary, and all the kingdoms that will ever be until Jesus establishes his own eternal kingdom, he wants us to see him the same way as the lamb who was slain, the worthy lamb, because he was the one that ransomed it. The point's real simple. The point's real simple. Why would he want it? Because if he wasn't slain, you aren't a kingdom of priests unto God. If he wasn't slain, you're all headed to the same place that the rest of the people who've rejected him will be. If he wasn't slain, because in being slain, he purchased a people for God. He purchased a kingdom of priests. He bought somebody on Calvary. He bought a people on Calvary, and that people is called, we call them the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. And what is the bride called in the Revelation? The marriage of the what? Lamb, exactly. The marriage of the Lamb. Well, let me tell you this good resurrection story. I was really, really impressed by this gal. I don't want to butcher her name, so I want to. There was a young lady that died recently in town. Her name is Ashley Privett. Raise your hand if you know the story or about her, about what's going on with that. Yeah. That's just a heartbreaking story, right? Way too young, however you want to say it. Their family decided to have the funeral today on Easter. You know, at first I thought, oh, man. You know, if I'm the, funeral planner, I'm not sure Easter's the day I'm going to pick to do a funeral. But, man, in 1 second when I thought about the revelation, I'm saying she's got it right. She's got it right. Because there's no day like today that declares that Jesus has won over death, that Jesus has won over early death, over too early death, over cancer death, over COVID death, over death by war, over anything. I was thinking about the Ukrainian Christians this morning out there in worship services crying out to God for mercy and for help and for sparing him. And I was thinking about reading through Revelation when God says that he allowed beasts, nations to come up and slay his people. But he said, but they rose up. Because they had their name in the what's book of life?
Lamb.
That's it. They had their name in the Lamb's book of life. There was a lamb who was slain. There was a lamb who was raised again. And that lamb that was raised again has a book. And it's called the Lamb's book of life. And every single person that he purchased is there. And if your name's there, you'll be with him forever. Even if you die. Even if you die of war, even if you die for your faith, even if you die of all of these things, you'll see there's, these pestilences. And there, there's these plagues, all the things that beset the earth and all the things that have beset the earth throughout all the ages. The Lamb stands there with his nail scars in his hand saying, I've won over it all. And one day, I'll come and set it all straight. And I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care how you're suffering. I was reading a post of a friend of mine back in India. They're going through this season that's of trouble. And I have a friend that writes me all the time from Burma, and the Burmese Christians are being persecuted like crazy. I mean, like being snuffed out. And he's like, my time's coming. I don't know when it is, but I'm praising the Lord that I get to tell a story another day. And I was thinking about all this, people that are, in different places than me, the Privett family, people that have just lost loved ones, people that are suffering, maybe just going through hell in your life. Well, the whole book of Revelation says that there's a beast, bunches of them. There's all kinds of horrible things that have been unleashed on the earth. There's a dragon that's in charge of them. The Bible says that when the dragon got cast down, that he's trying to wipe out the church. He's trying to wipe out the child of God, the children of God, you and me. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. But the great story of the revelation is the slain lamb wins. The slain lamb is victorious. And the testimony that the slain lamb is victorious is Easter morning. The testimony that the slain lamb is victorious is Easter morning. That's why we keep looking to it. If Christ is raised from the dead, then everything's going to be okay. And if Christ isn't raised from the dead, then let's get out of here because we're just wasting time in this room. But if he is, everything's going to be okay for those of us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. there's this thing called believer's baptism, which is a ceremony that we as the church get to have together, where believers come and they testify of their faith in the dead and risen Lord Jesus. And what is it that they're believing? What is it they're believing? That God, listen to me, that God has accepted Jesus Christ's payment on Calvary, the precious Lamb of God, that God has accepted his sacrifice for their sins. That's what they're believing. And the resurrection is the testimony that he has. Because had God not accepted the sacrifice, Jesus would still be in the grave. But God did accept the sacrifice, and the Bible says in Acts 5 that the grave could not hold him because God accepted the sacrifice. And baptism is simply this. I believe that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice for my sins. Period. Dot. That's what it is. It's not, and there's this great line where Philip says, what hinders us, where the Ethiopian eunuch says, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip says, nothing. If you believe with all your heart, you may. Well, what does it mean to believe with all your heart? That means not a bit of your heart can believe in anything else. Think about it this way. I don't believe that it's some ceremony I'm doing. I don't believe it's some prayer that I pray. I don't believe that it's going to church. I don't believe that it's being a better guy than the other guy. I don't believe in anything. There's no part of my heart that believes that I'm acceptable by God except for what Jesus, the spotless Lamb, did on Calvary for my sins. That's how I'm accepted. I believe it with my whole heart. There's nothing left in my heart for any other thing. That's it. And if you believe with your whole heart, then you may.